Good morning. Like I said earlier, Pastor Ken and Pastor Linda are away, so you guys get stuck with the youth assignment today. So we're just going to, truly and honestly, though, we're just going to open the Word and watch and see what God does. Because I believe completely within my heart that something very, very exciting is about to happen. Yes. Something very, very exciting is about to happen this morning. So we're going to open it up. And the reality is I'm not here today to preach some groundbreaking biblical truth. I'm here this morning to remind us of a foundational thing in the gospel. And I'm here today just to tell somebody that there is a God, or that our God, that He so loves you, that He so loves you, that there's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that you can say, there's no circumstance in your life that can change how much God loves you, that you are so loved. And I'm hoping that I'm going to paint a picture for you this morning. I'm going to start in the Old Testament, and then we're going to go to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to open your word. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity, Father, and I pray that your spirit would fall right now in this place. That your spirit would fall right now in this place. Father, remove me from this place. And may they just see Jesus. May they just see Jesus this morning. It's not about me, it's about you. So Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus. God, that lives would be healed, that people would be transformed, that lives would be made new, that we'd understand this morning, maybe in a new way, that there is a God who so, so loves us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm opening today, if you want to join me. I don't have it on the screen. I was going to, but I don't. Technical issues, we'll call it. I'm opening today, if you want to join me, I'm going to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. Hosea is an Old Testament prophet. He's an Old Testament prophet. He's one of probably the most faithful men that is in Scripture. And a little bit of background on the story, because I'm jumping right into the thick of it this morning. A little bit of background to this story is, in chapter 1, the Lord, he comes to Hosea in a dream, and he tells Hosea that he's supposed to go and marry a prostitute. That a faithful man of God is supposed to go and marry a prostitute. So Hosea obeys, and he says, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it because you called me to. So he goes and he finds this woman named Gomer. And he finds Gomer and he marries her. And they have children together, and they build this family together. And we come to chapter 3. We come to chapter 3, and what's actually happened is Gomer's actually, somewhere along the line, she's decided that this isn't the life that she wants to live. That this isn't the life that she wants to live. So she actually decides that she's going to run away back to where she used to be. She's decided that she's going to go back to selling her body as a prostitute. And this is what happens in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read it. I'm reading from the NLT. It says, then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned into other gods and love to worship them. So the Lord, he comes in this dream. He comes in this dream to Hosea. And Hosea has decided that, hey, I'm gonna move on with my life. I'm gonna move on with my life. I'm gonna go ahead. It didn't work out. And the Lord comes to him in a dream and says, no, Hosea, there's a purpose and a plan for this. There's a purpose and a plan for this. Go back, go find her and marry her. Go find her and take her back because she's yours, Hosea. Because she's yours, Hosea. And it continues on. Verse 2 says, so I bought her back. So I bought her. back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. And I want to look at these two verses today. I want you to imagine this for just a minute. Hosea has heard what God said to him, and he obeys it. So he decides that he's going to go, and I imagine it like this. This is my imagination of the story. I imagine it like this. Is he's running to all of these different towns. He's running to all of these different villages, going town to town, being like, hey, have you seen Gomer? Where is she? I'm looking for my wife. Where is she? Have you seen her? And he comes to this one town, and I imagine it like this. He comes to this one town, and he goes, hey, have you seen Gomer? And the guy goes, yeah, I've seen her. She's over there at the auction. Selling her body. So Hosea goes, and he's over. In this picture, and he shows up at this auction, and there's hundreds of people there, and all of these people have gathered. To bid on his wife. And Hosea shows up in the thick of it, late, may I add. He shows up late in the thick of it. The prices are already going. The bids are already starting. People are like, yeah, I'll bid this, and yeah, I'll bid this, and yeah, I'll bid this. And in the thick of it, Hosea lifts his paddle. If you've ever seen an auction, he lifts his little paddle and he says, here's my price. And it ends up being 15 pieces of silver, a bunch of barley and some wine. The translation, the beautiful translation about this, I don't know if you know this about this story, but it actually says in some translations that Hosea gave everything he had for Gomer. That Hosea gave everything he had to purchase back Gomer. The kick in the teeth is she was already his. He's paying for something that is already his. He's paying for something that belongs to him. Gomer doesn't belong to anybody else. Gomer belongs to Hosea. He gave everything he had for something that was already his. Everything he had, what seems so little. I don't carry coins in my wallet, but if I was to open Laura's wallet, I'd probably find 15 pieces of silver. Probably not a bunch of barley and definitely not any wine. But 15 pieces of silver, something that was so small, something that to our eyes seems so small. He gave everything he had for Gomer. Everything he had. So I bought her. So I paid a price for her. Why? Because the Lord told him to. And to expand on it, why? Because the Lord so loved Gomer. Because the Lord so loves Gomer. Just in case you thought for a moment, let me make sure that you realize this. In this story, you're not Hosea. In this story, we're not Hosea. Reality check, you're Gomer. Reality check, you're Gomer. You may not be a prostitute, but there is sin in your life. There was sin in your life, or there still may be sin in your life. That somebody had to come because he so loved you to pay a price for what was already his. If you open up Scripture and you go to the New Testament, there's an incredible foreshadow between Hosea and Jesus. Hosea's teaching a story. The Lord's using Hosea to teach a story of something that was to come thousands of years later. Thousands of years later, a Messiah was going to come. Somebody was going to come to pay a price, to buy back what was already his, because he so loves you. He so loves you. And not only does he so love you, but he loves you like nobody else ever could. He loves you like nobody else could ever could. There's a word in Hebrew that says agape. Agape. And agape love is something that looks like this. It's a love that knows no limits. It's a love that's conditionless. It's a love that's selfless. It's a love that's not focused on us, but it's focused, or it's not focused on him, but it's focused on us. And I'll tell you something right now. I'm convinced that there's only one person who has an agape love. And I'm here today to tell you and remind you that his name is Jesus. Amen. To tell you and remind you that his name is Jesus. See, today I'm not talking about love as an emotion. Love is not an emotion, love is a person. And his name is Jesus. Because I believe that it took every ounce of love that he had. Every ounce of love that he had to die on the cross. To die on the cross, to pay a price for our sin, to pay a price for our life, so that we could be rewarded with the opportunity to draw close to the Father. And why I'm telling you this, in a church who, when I look around the room today, I believe is already predominant believers, is because last time I was here, last time I stood up here, we discussed and we talked about what it looked like to live, to give our hearts 100% to the Lord. That's what we talked about last time I was here. And today I'm here to remind you that giving, if you're sitting on the fence, if you're sitting on the fence about living your life sold out for Jesus, then let me tell you today that Jesus that you're contemplating giving your life to, that Jesus that you're contemplating living everything you've got for, that you are so loved. For God what? For God so loved the world. He what? He so loved us. He so loved us. The reality is that we couldn't have a Savior who 75% of the way loved us. We couldn't have a Savior who only gave 25% on the cross. He so loved you that he would hang on that tree, pay the price for your sins, not so that we could, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but not so that we could give a certain percentage back. I'm here to tell you today that you are so loved. There's another word for love, and I actually heard this a couple years ago at Overflow, so I'm going to borrow it. But there's another word for love, and it's another Hebrew word that says ahava. And the coolest thing about the word ahava in the Hebrew is it actually means love, but it also means give. It's like when you receive a Christmas present. It's like when you receive a Christmas present. Why do you give somebody a gift? Because you love them, right? Because you love them. I'm not gonna give somebody a gift. The chances of me giving somebody a gift if I don't love them become a whole lot smaller than the people who I do love. And I wanna point this out to you. For God so loved the world that he gave. Ahava, ahava. For God so gave because he loved. Ahava, ahava. You can't separate them. Because when they translate from Hebrew into English, it's the same word. You can't separate them. You can't. It's not possible. For Hosea gave everything he had. Why? Because he so loved Gomer. Even after everything that had happened. Even after everything that had gone on. He so loved Gomer. For God so loved the world. That he gave, that he would give his only son to die on a tree for you and me. So I'm just simply here today. We're going to transition into something. We're going to transition into something. And this is where I believe that something special is about to happen. Is we're going to transition into something. I'm not here to preach for 45 minutes today. I'm here because I believe that Jesus is about to do something. This is what I want to do. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you've been a Christian most of your life. But lately, circumstance after circumstance after circumstance after circumstance, you've found yourself falling away from your faith a little bit. You found yourself falling away. You found yourself in a place of difficulty, in a place of trial and tribulation. And I'm simply here today to say this very simply, give it to Jesus. Understand that you're so loved, and that because you're so loved, that he has a purpose and a plan, and if you've decided that you're falling away, and if you've forgotten what that plan might look like, I'm here today to remind you that you are so loved by an infinite God. By an infinite God. A God who controls your circumstances. A God who can control your trials. A God who can annihilate them like this. The power of Jesus is real, people. Amen. The power of Jesus is real. And he has the ability like this to change your life. To change your life. To rededicate your life to him. Or maybe you're here for the very first time. Maybe you're here for the very first time this morning. And I'll be real and I'll be honest with you that I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know this. I feel like I'm supposed to pace, so I'm just gonna pace. Deal with it, it'll be fine. Okay? The reality is that there's a God. There's a God who I believe is present this morning in this house, who so loves you. Who so loves you. And if you're here for the first time and you don't know this, if you're here for the first time and you're learning this, then I just simply want to say to you, Today might be your day to come to Jesus. Today might be the day to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you feel like you've tried everything. Maybe this is your last hope. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, why should I trust this little, why should I trust this young kid? Why should I trust this young kid with my life? I'm simply going to tell you this. That I was once in your shoe. I was once in your shoes. Entangled in alcohol. Entangled in drugs. I was just a young teenager. And I met Jesus like this. And in a split second, every addiction was gone. Every desire was gone. And I knew at that very moment that Jesus is the King of Kings. Amen. That Jesus is the King of Kings. If you feel like you've tried everything, let me tell you something. Nothing's working because it's not Jesus. Amen. Nothing's going to work because it's not Jesus. Jesus is the person who heals. Jesus is the person who transforms lives. Amen. Jesus is the person who saves us. Jesus is the only person who could ever love us enough, who could ever, ever love us enough to be able to pay the price that he paid for us on the cross. This sermon is for everybody. It's not just for the unsaved. This is meant to be a reminder to you that no matter how far you've fallen, that no matter where your life has taken you, that no matter what's still in store, that no matter what challenges you might face, that no matter what might happen, that God is still good and Jesus still loves. Love is a person and his name is Jesus. Amen. And from that person flows the emotion. He gave because he loved. Ahava, ahava. He gave because he loved. So here's what we're gonna do. Everybody's okay still? Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do it a little differently today. And I'm simply gonna say this to you. That if you're already a believer in Christ, if you already know Jesus, but you've been struggling, feeling like your life's falling apart, or forgetting what that love feels like, or forgetting what that love looks like, then I'm simply going to go ahead and ask every single person in this sanctuary to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. It's okay. And if you're a person who already has a relationship with Jesus, but maybe needs that reminder, maybe needs that reminder that you are so loved, then stand up. Keep your eyes closed. Then stand up. Because we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. If you're here today and you need that reminder that says that, hey, you are so loved by a God who uncontrollably, who indefinitely, who without limits or conditions, gave everything on the cross for you. If that's you, stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stay standing just for one more second. If you're in this place this morning, feeling like you've tried everything, and today's your day, maybe, that you wanted to accept Jesus for the very first time as your love and your Savior, accepting and knowing that he died on the cross and paid a beautiful price for your sin, then I would encourage you to stand up right now. Every eye's closed. Nobody's looking at you. Amen. Amen, amen. We're gonna go through something else. Maria, can you come play the piano, please? Hey, if you're already a believer and you needed that reminder, we'd love to pray for you. Okay? But I'm simply gonna ask, without opening your eyes, that you sit down. But if you gave your heart to Jesus for the very first time today, stand up so we can pray for you. Stay standing. If you've accepted Jesus for the very first time today, stay standing. If you've already had a faith in Jesus, if you've already given your heart to him, then go ahead and sit down. If today's your very first day, then we want to pray for you. Come on. God is so, so good. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then the altar's open. And if you need that reminder that just says, hey, if you need that reminder, that moment that just says, you're so loved, come find it at the foot of Jesus. Because he's here. The King is among us. We sang it. And our hearts are burned, and his heart, the reality is, we sing it, my heart burns for you, but you need to understand that his heart burns for you. The heart of Jesus burns for you. And today, if you need that reminder, then come find it at the altar. We're not going anywhere. This is a special moment. I'm going to take the next 10 minutes, and we're just going to lead through some moments of worship, through some moments of prayer. We're going to pray for some people. Okay? The altar's open. If you want to skip out early, then that's cool. But this is what Jesus is saying today. Come on, so the altar's open.